to Channel Radio.
It's 1 o'clock.
Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Do you know, you say it through gritted teeth more and more.
Oh, no, it hurts.
I know, it hurts. I annoy you intensely, and I'm awfully sorry. I mean, I don't wake up of a morning and think, how can I annoy Paul Andrews?
I'd like to marry you so I could divorce you.
Yeah, but, you know, I'll just gloss over that. I don't wake up of a morning and just think, how can I annoy the lovely Vanilla Web, Paul
Andrews? Yes, you do. That's a big fib. I've seen what you've been posting all day. Don't you give me that.
Lovely things.
No, they're not. No. Silly old pictures of you spraying acid in my face or whatever it was.
Do you know what? I was trying to wonder what that was, but look at your face. It's a nice thing. You can see you've got a nice face on.
No, but I couldn't see. You sprayed it in my eyes.
I think it's a pamper thing that I was doing.
Why would you spray it in my eyes then?
I think your eyes are closed. I think it's a calming thing.
No,
you know, like when you go on airlines. I'm the best.
I don't know. I don't remember. I haven't been on a plane for ages.
You must remember those days. I was the best on a long haul flight. You know, those really long ones.
Was that when they had two wings and stuff?
Yeah, my feet came out the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Or sometimes I'd hang on the, you know, on the outside.
Yeah. But the rear machine gun. Yeah,
exactly. But do you remember that granny that walked on the wings in Kent?
Yeah, yeah,
not
yeah.
Not so long
yeah.
ago. She was about 92 or something.
Yeah, yeah,
she was a wing walker.
Yeah, yeah.
But I digress. So on a long haul flight, if you remember, I was like the queen of all the potions. So I think, right, because I never sleep on a plane. I'm terrible. My new husband, just the minute we've had dinner, off he goes. Me, awake all night, watch three films, hyper. So I've got sort of histamine things that my doctor said would make me sleep, and all they did was give me twitchy legs. And then I've got all
you
these
you don't want twitchy legs, do you? No, you go.
Depends who you're sitting next to.
Yeah.
Then you've got lavender. That man got really a problem, didn't he, with that? He said he was asleep and he was touching a lady next to him and his wife was next to him. Oh, no, did you read that?
No.
You don't get the Daily Mail.
No, I don't get the Daily Mail. You're quite right.
And then I've got the lavender roll-ons. I'm looking at Sarah because she'll get this. She's our guest.
Because she gets the Daily Mail or she gets
no,
the lavender roll-on.
No, she'll get the lavender roll-on. Okay, so all right. These tools.
I like to try and follow what you're going on about. It's not easy. But.
And anyway, then I go and I put my little gym jams on and I take all my makeup off and I spray myself with lovely things. This is how I go with the train of thought. Because when I sprayed you, I'm sure it was one of those pamper things. So I spray all the air around me and everything in the thing and I get all tucked up, little eye mask, can't sleep. Drives me nuts.
Well, I'm not surprised. You're all wet when you sprayed everything everywhere. You got this layer of stuff all over you.
And then the one time I did fly, I've flown a couple of times first class, and the one time I was in a lovely little cocoon with Singapore Air, but I was really ill because I'd been to Lombok and they'd fogged me. You know, fogging?
Yeah.
Fogged me by accident, and I was very, very ill. It was like warfare, it was.
Uh-huh.
And she, you know, the Singapore airline ladies are just beautiful, and they're all about that high, and I was like a great big heifer lump next to her. So I was going, all right, you know, and she's going, would you like a little bit of chocolate, a little bit of this, and a little champagne? I was too ill, Sarah. So I forced a bit down, you know, just to be polite.
Oh, you have to.
Yeah, and then
Absolutely.
I got back in my cocoon. But, yeah, so, yeah, we will fly again, won't we?
Quite possibly, yeah.
Well, the last time you flew, you went to see Tigger, didn't you?
God blimey, I did. Yeah,
there's a picture of you and Tigger hugging.
Yeah, the real Tigger. Yeah.
Real
yeah,
live
yeah,
one.
That was a long time ago, actually.
Yeah, I know, 4 years, I think. I was going to ask a very sensible question, Paul
Andrews.
Oh, God,
yeah, go on.
Who might our sponsor be?
Oh, The Business Bunker Show is pleased to partner with...
He doesn't even know, he's having to look.
Yes, I do.
He's got his notes.
The Tenterden District Chamber of Commerce is our sponsor for this week.
We love them.
Yeah. The Chamber encourages membership of businesses in the area covered by Tenterden and its surroundings, including the villages of Appledore, Benenden, Betherston, Biddenden, Ebony, Newenden, Rowenden, Sandhurst, Smarden, Sissinghurst, Stone, Wittisham and Woodchurch. The Tenterden District Chamber of Commerce exists to promote the sustainable economic development of this area and to provide a collective voice for the area's businesses. You can find out all about them by going to their lovely website, which is www.tentertonchamber.org.
Lovely. And of course, they've got a sparkling high street with loads of independent shops. They've got parking, they've got food, pubs, the whole shebang.
I told Mustafa I'd give him a shout out as well because he didn't believe me. Mustafa owns Ozga's, a Turkish restaurant, and he also owns the Tenterton Grill, which is a takeaway kebab shop.
That's healthy.
Absolutely.
Eat as much as you want.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He does diet kebabs, which is lucky.
How many calories?
None. Yeah, the bigger the kebab, the less calories.
I don't understand. You must ask Mustafa. Is he Turkish?
Yeah, yeah.
You must ask him. You know the big thing that goes round?
Yeah.
What? I mean, I've never seen a lamb with that sort of leg.
It's an elephant leg, isn't it?
Yeah. I've never seen a lamb with that kind of leg, have you?
No.
So you must ask him what it does, how he pieces it all together. Because how do they do that? They glue it on.
It's just compressed lamb, isn't it?
Yeah, anyway,
what I was trying to say was, I was in there on Friday.
I
was in there on Friday in the Tenterton Grill in Tenterton High Street getting a diet kebab. And he said to me, I'm fed up with you. He's just joined social media. He said, I'm fed up with you. Every time I open social media, your face is on it.
And I went, lovely face it is too.
And I went, well, that's because I'm famous, Mustafa. And he went, no, you're not. And I went, no, that's true. I said, but I'm going to make you famous because I'm going to talk about you on the radio. And he went, no, you'll never mention it. Mustafa, Denise, you are now on the radio for the Tenterton Grill and you're fabulous. Don't take this as gospel, but you're fabulous diet kebabs.
And do you, when you do have it, hello, Mustafa and Denise, we could play Denise again, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Blondie. Do you have all the little sauces on the side?
Chilli sauce?
Yeah.
Not on the side, I have it all over.
Oh, you have it smothered over, yeah.
Of course I do.
Well, no, I have to have it on the side because my gums flare otherwise.
Salad sauce?
Yeah.
Yeah. You want chilli salad sauce? Yeah.
Does he do the little baklava puddings, the little
baklava? Yeah, they do. I don't eat them, but
you don't wear them either, do you?
I don't wear a baklava, no.
No. But you don't eat them, but I would eat them.
You probably would.
Rhubarb. Oh, I love a rhubarb. Oh, now that takes me back to the 70s. Does it you?
I wish someone would.
Good one. I like that.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah, for once.
You see what I did
there? Made me laugh.
Oh, good.
Okay, so I was going to tell you about business awards.
Yeah, go for it.
Paul Andrews. And I'm sure one of our listeners will be interested. They're probably reclining, listening. You know, you can listen on Alexa now.
Yeah, yeah.
You just go into your app. And you ask it to, or you hook it up, don't you?
You enable channel radio
enable,
as a skill.
That was the word.
And then from then on in, you just go, Alexa, play channel radio.
Exactly.
And she's very lovely. She says, you're listening to channel radio. And when you leave, when you turn it off, she goes, thank you for listening to channel radio.
Very polite.
Yeah, she's very polite.
She's a bit annoying because I asked her to remind me to take my homeopathy, take it with me.
And she laughs.
No, but she can't say it. You know, I mean, the reminder was ridiculous. I can't even remember what it was, but it wasn't homeopathy. Business awards listener, this is exciting. So the applications are now officially open for the Ashford, Canterbury, Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells Business Awards. And there are quite a few categories which may be of interest, and I will read out the website at the end, and of course it's on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. You'll find it there. So the categories are customer service, innovation, startup, that's a 3 years old maximum, so your startup must be under three, small business, business woman of the year. Adele didn't get that, did she?
No.
Was mixed, you know. And then there was a hoo-ha, wasn't there? Best family business and best construction business.
Right.
Did you not know about it?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Why are you shrugging behind my back?
Because you're a pain. That's why.
Well, it was a hoo-ha, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a hoo-ha.
She just said she was happy to be a woman.
Yeah.
Which you've said many an occasion, and nobody said, worried.
Except our lack of hoo-ha.
3ws.businessawardskent.co.uk. Find out about it. As you know, a business award is great PR for your business.
It certainly is. We've had a tweet from the lovely Kim Stevens of Care in Kent, and she said, I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker show, please, for Care in Kent at home care workers in Ashford and Folkestone. Thank you to the home care teams who work tirelessly for the need of our clients to ensure that they feel comfortable, safe and secure. If you see any of our team out and about, give us a wave. Absolutely.
There
so thank you,
waving.
Kim. Yeah. And thank you to it, all the Care in Kent team looking after people in the community.
It is a really essential thing, especially as you know, our elderly have been sort of neglected a bit and they need all the help they can get.
Can't go out, can they?
No. Mm. Council bosses want to shut down a Canterbury park and ride. You keep giving me this one to annoy me,
I like it when you rant.
Yeah. In a money-saving move, brand illogical by commuters. So we've got lots of students coming in to study, haven't we, in Canterbury from Thanet and whereabouts who can't drive, or maybe they do drive and then they have to do that because they can't afford parking. So plans have been unveiled to mothball the Sturry Road site for 2 years following a drastic fall in passenger numbers since the pandemic struck.
Well, I'll tell...
Councillor Breeze.
I can't, they must have had a big committee meeting to discuss why nobody was using it during the pandemic.
Yeah,
I mean, I wonder what
hours
they found out.
Oh, dear me. So we were all told to stay in, weren't we, and Zoom and things.
To be fair, I suppose if they were actually a commercial organisation, it's quite a clever move because they've abandoned the park and ride, which costs £4 to use.
Yeah.
And now you have to park your car in the town centre, which costs £18 a day. So,
see what they did there?
Yeah, I see what they did there.
Well, where I live, they're busy chasing little old ladies with dogs and
fining
them £100 on the spot in a place when we could previously walk dogs. And there's nothing, nobody knew about it. Mm. The proposal, going back to the council bosses and wanting to do their park and ride stop, would save Canterbury City Council £360,000 in all, but has left users fearing they will have to fork out £20 a day for parking if the move is given the green light. And the plot, which is one of the three park and rides in the district, is most frequently used, as I said, by students and also employees travelling into the city from the likes of Thanet and Herne Bay. I like that. The likes of.
From Planet Thanet, they are.
The likes of.
Yeah.
So, I think it's very controversial and I don't understand it really. And also the traffic getting into Canterbury is...
But to be fair, well, not really fair, but... Canterbury aren't the only ones. Maidstone have also had their park and ride stopped, and Ashford never got theirs off the ground in some places. And, you know, the answer's the same. You know, the money they were paying for the park and ride hasn't been well spent because no one was using it. But there's a reason that no one's been using it, yeah, because they've all been locked at home.
Yeah.
So maybe what they should have done is suspended it during the pandemic and then bought it back.
Exactly. Yeah, but
that would require planning,
thinking.
Though. Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, there's a difference.
There's also the pollution issue, though, isn't there?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I said in traffic.
Yeah. We're trying to keep.
Yeah,
cars
so one bus
cities,
rather than 58 cars going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they've had a meeting about that and decided that net zero is very important.
And they should all go into town to discuss it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they all drove because there's no buses.
Yeah. Yeah. But at least the council's making the money back on parking.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah.
I'm still waiting for my red top bin that I ordered, which was supposed to come in January because we've changed, our refuse collectors have changed
red
company.
Top bin?
Yeah, that's for paper. Drives me mad. I mean, I've got four bins, Paul Andrews, plus my food caddy.
Me
it's
too.
It's ridiculous. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Well, I've only got two.
Well, Tenterden, you see.
Grey and green.
Okay. Well, I have a red for all my paper. I have a blue for my cans and my glass. And then I have a dustbin for rubbish, landfill.
Recycling.
Landfill. No, landfill.
That's recycling.
What do you mean? They bung it all in together. Yeah, they do. And then my food caddy.
The garden bin.
And the garden bin, which you have to pay extra for where we live now.
Yeah. Me too.
That's a new thing. And then they don't collect it in, I don't know, they stop collecting it. And mine's always full.
It's fairly random, isn't it? When
they stop collecting, I think it's November to February, because they think that nobody's got any gardening things in those months.
Nothing.
And then you get three storms in a row.
Yeah.
Well, you can't get a tree in a bin.
I've tried. I had three trees come down during the storm. Mm. I tried to get them in the gardening bin, but they wouldn't fit. I don't have a gardening bin.
Well, you don't need it. You've got acres. But I've only got a tiny garden. I do need a little bin. There's been somebody digging in my olive tree as well, which has upset me. I'm not sure which critter it is, but...
Someone's been digging in your olive tree.
There's been a critter.
Right.
I've got an olive tree in a pot in my front garden, and a critter has been at it.
Is it a squirrel?
That'd be a cat.
It's a, bit, it's a squirrel.
It's
the squirrel.
Bigger.
I wonder where my squirrels have gone.
There's no cat debris in there, you know, for want of a better word. I think it might be a fox. What have you got, Paul Andrews?
I've got a tweet here from Mr. Martin Reeves of Collector Buddy.
Is he in a loft?
He quite possibly is. He said, can I have a shout-out, please, on the Business Bunker? I look forward to you bringing some sunshine into today's show.
That's difficult. It's a bit foggy.
We've let him down big time already, haven't we? Huh?
And tell him I had to use an umbrella in my soft top today because the water was gushing through the soft top roof.
Martin, she had to use an umbrella. Why am I telling you? Tell him.
I've just said it.
Oh.
Yeah.
She had to use an umbrella in her soft top because it's got a leak, Martin.
Exactly.
What's Martin going to do about that?
Well, I'm just saying that he's in a loft and he might have the same problem. He might have lost a few roof tiles as we've had all those storms.
Okay.
Yeah. And also Nippy up there, I think.
Quite possibly.
But anyway, big hello to him because he's been doing very well. I saw a tweet where he was celebrating.
Chips and Dinks have also been on. They say back on air at one, the dream team. Vanilla Webb and Jewel Sirkin giving it up on the Business Bunker show.
Giving it large.
Supporting small businesses.
I thought we were more of a nightmare team, but I didn't like to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Inchi and PR have tweeted. Do you know them?
Never heard of them.
Yeah.
I know. I know.
And I like it when they come in the studio because they do pictures from a different angle. Usually of me scoffing something, but there is always a different angle from our usual ones.
The lovely folks at Inchi and PR brought food in. And I just want to say, Amanda, I haven't touched any of it.
No, if she's listening.
And they keep wafting it in front of me. And they've deliberately brought in things with jalapenos and garlic and all the things that I really, really like.
Well, a jalapeno wouldn't put any weight on. You can have as much jalapeno.
It's buried in a pastry, you silly woman.
No, it's corn. It's corn. What is it? Cornbread? Say it like a southerner.
Jalapeno. Cornbread.
Cornbread.
It's cornbread.
Yeah, that's all right.
Is it?
A little bit of cornbread.
Is that right?
Did you see my bacon pancakes this morning?
I did. You've asked me three
times.
They
were so good.
I saw it dripping down Gavin's shirt as well.
Well, that was his tossing. It wasn't his tossing wasn't up to standard,
useless tosser.
Frankly. And now the floor is really, really slippery.
Yeah.
But the bacon we did in the Ninja air fryer, it was so crisp. It was organic. It was gorgeous.
Hold on. Whoa. You did bacon in an air fryer?
In the Ninja air fryer.
Ninja air fryer.
Yeah.
Is it a Dyson?
No, it's a Ninja.
Ninja.
Yeah, it fries, so you don't really use... It sort of almost diffuses your oil, so you don't really use oil.
What do you do? Oh, no, I'm confused now.
You come round and I do your little bacon sarnie.
Yeah, okay.
On light bread.
No, but explain to me how it works.
Well, there's a little... I'll send you a video. There's a little grill, and you can put your fat underneath if you want, and then you hop your thing in. You can put chicken in. I did some amazing chicken.
No, I don't want to know that. I want to know how it works.
I don't know. It just diffuses it's almost like steaming, but it's oil. So it's very, very low fat and healthy. Yeah. So, you know, it's a bit like grilling bacon. You don't use fat when you grill, but when you fry, you're keeping
the
fat.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like that, but it's a little oven. It's like a convector oven.
Ah, okay. Now I understand.
Why didn't you say that in the first place? Technical word. Anyway, the pancakes were great. So all it is 100 milliliter mils. I don't really know mils. Mils of flour. I use gluten-free. 300 milliliters of coconut milk.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, but you can't taste it. A little bit of salt.
What'd you put it in?
Two eggs.
What's the point of putting it in if you can't taste it?
Well, because I'm not having dairy at the moment, because my homeopath doesn't want me to have dairy. Coconut milk's great.
Did Gavin have to have coconut milk?
Yeah, and he has it in everything. He doesn't know. I make custard with it. He doesn't know. Yeah. Anyway, whiz it up and bung your bacon in. Off you go. But just get somebody better to toss it, because his tossing...
Yeah, he made a right mess of that. I saw that.
I tell you, I don't know if
I saw the little video you had of him tossing it in the frying pan, but there was something else rolling around in the pan. What was that? A bit of strawberry or something?
Bacon!
Was that bacon?
That was the bacon, but I like nice big bits. I don't go for little tiny bits.
Well, it was a little silly bit. I thought it was a strawberry or something.
No, there's lots of bacon. What's that, Tim?
It looked like a walnut.
Yeah,
I'm
going, what's that? Conker. It was bacon, was it?
Really?
Rolling around in the frying pan.
I'll have to look at the video.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't really watching what I was videoing. He was just saying, quick, here I am, I'm going to toss it.
Yeah.
It was bacon.
It didn't definitely look like bacon. It didn't look like bacon, did it, Tim?
Maybe it was alternative bacon.
I'm telling you, if it was a walnut, I think I would have known.
Vegetarian bacon or something.
No, it was Riverford Organic.
But if it's going to come out sort of shaped like a walnut, it's not going to fit in your bacon sandwich very well, is it?
No, exactly.
Oh, no, yeah. If it was Paul I'd have flat
she's
bacon.
She's not selling this well at all, is she, really?
Not particularly.
No.
I've got an alternative milk for you to try, actually. Have you heard of Doug milk, which potato milk?
No, because I don't have deadly nightshades.
Potato milk?
Your potato is a deadly nightshade.
Oh.
So for many, can be quite inflammatory.
She's a witch, you know, Sarah. Yeah. She knows all about this kind of stuff. If you go in the kitchen, she's got, you know, bits of frog and a bat wing and all kinds of things.
And a cauldron in the pantry.
Yeah, I have sweet potato.
Yeah.
But not potato. But my new husband probably would. But we have coconut milk all the time. It's lovely. Don't have soy. I avoid soy because that gives you man boobs if you're a man because of the old hormones.
Thank you for that. Right.
but I'd love to try your potato milk if you'd like to squeeze me some at any time.
How do you milk a potato?
It's called vodka.
Yeah, exactly.
Now,
yeah,
I do like vodka.
Low fat. Low calories.
Yeah. I'd forgotten about that being a deadly nightshade, but I think the fermenting must just get rid of everything.
I'm sure the alcohol content will kill anything.
Paragon Drones have tweeted, Paul Jules, we'd love a mention on the Business Monkey Show, please. Looking forward to another great show. Social media tips and the FSB, two great sounding guests, and we're looking forward to listening. And we love the cheesy tunes. Well, it's funny you should say that, chaps, because it's cheesy tunage time.
Is it time?
It is.
Who's here it alluding to? The Monkeys! Babel Monkey! Oh, I used to love this.
It's a bit obvious, really, wasn't it?
You do know Davy Jones. He chatted me up.
Hey, did he? Hey, we're the Monkeys. And people say we monkey around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We go where we want to, do what we like to do. We don't have time to get restless. There's always something new. Hey, hey, we're the Monkeys. And people say we monkey around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly. Come and watch us sing and play. We're the young generation. And we've got something to say. Just look over your shoulder. Guess who'll be standing there? Hey, hey, we're the Monkeys. And people say we monkey around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down. What's
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for two free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
That was so cheesy. It was cheese, wasn't it?
It was gorgeous, though, and had to be done.
It was so obvious, wasn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, it had to be done.
Yeah.
We love a monkey.
I do like a bit of monkey. There's none of them left now, though.
What, monkey brain?
No, of the monkeys.
I know, they all die. Have they all died, all four?
I think no.
What about Woolhat?
No, he's gone. I think Mickey Donnins may still be alive.
I think he is.
Yeah, I think he is.
See,
yeah.
he chased me in Trader Vic's in my youth.
Chased me.
Yeah, in my youth.
Which one? You just told me you got hit on by Davy Jones. Which one? No, both of them.
Mickey Dolenz.
Both of them?
No, just Mickey Dolenz.
You said Davy Jones earlier, didn't you? She did, didn't she?
No, you misheard me.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with walnuts and nothing to do with Davy Jones. I think Davy Jones was a bit short.
He was very short.
Yeah, I don't think he would have gone for me. Mickey Dolenz was tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't like him. Okay. So, well, I'm sure if he's listening, I would have liked him.
Yeah,
if he's listening.
All right.
Good choice of song. Took me back to my youth.
Cool. Anyway, that was as a introduction to our first guest, really. So it's a pleasure to welcome, for the very first time, onto the Business Bunker show, the lovely Sarah Marsh Collings. Sarah, welcome to the show, Babel Monkey. Hence the silly tune. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's lovely to see you. Why don't we kick off, Sarah, by you just telling us a little bit about Sarah to start with.
Right. Okay. So, Sarah. Well, my father was a diplomat, so I spent a lot of time abroad as I was growing up, and then a rather lot of time in boarding school. Boarding school. And then went back abroad again.
Whereabouts? Which countries were you in? Give us a snapshot.
Malawi, Bangladesh, Belgium, Indonesia, Blimey. Poland. I think that's about it.
Must have been very exciting as a young girl.
It was great. But you know what? When it's what you do all the time, it's normal.
Yeah.
So when I came back to the UK when I was 18, I was really quite keen to put down some roots because I didn't feel as though I had any. So, and everybody, all my other friends were, oh, let's go. I've had enough being in the UK.
And when and where did you go to boarding school? Was it boarding school back here in the UK?
It was, yeah. So 1984. Going to show my age here. Uh-huh. I started at Battle Abbey down in Hastings. So, and I stayed there until I'd finished my GCSEs and then did a bunk slightly early and went out to join my parents in Indonesia, which was fantastic.
Wow.
Finished school out in Indonesia.
I guess hard to make friends and keep friends if you're travelling all the time though, as a child.
Definitely. And I was not a prolific letter writer, shall we say. It was, which might be a bit surprising considering that my business these days is all about the written word. Mm. But no, I'm terrible, terrible letter writer. So the advent of social media and emails was an absolute revelation to me. I've managed to keep in touch with more people as a result. Mm. And actually two of my friends from Battle Abbey who are much better at keeping in touch with than me, thank goodness, because otherwise we wouldn't still be friends. But we are still friends and we have our Battle Axe group on WhatsApp. So Laura and Claire, if you're listening, hello darlings.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I don't know if it's the same in the diplomatic world, but in military families where you get shoved around the world to different places, you end up with the same people in each base kind of thing. Yeah, so you don't, although you're travelling the world, you're with the same group of people most of the time.
There's definitely an element of that, yes. Yeah. You do sort of cross paths with people. Oh, yes, he was the second sec when we were in Malawi. Oh, yes, he was the accountant when we were in Bangladesh or whatever. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Cool. Okay, so you kind of survived that.
Yes.
Why don't we move on and tell us a little bit about your career and what it is you do? Because you said you never wrote letters and now you do.
Yeah. Well, my mum actually really instilled a sense of stories. So I have a real love of stories. So letters are sort of they're administrative work as far as I'm concerned, and I'm still rubbish at that. Yeah. Whereas storytelling is an entirely different thing. So I actually started out in catering as a part-time barmaid, ended up running restaurants for a while, left that because of a chap, moved to Tenterden, actually.
Hold on. We need to sort this out. You left that because of a chap.
Yes.
Now, is that to escape or to go with?
It was to go with. So okay, I moved from London to Tenterden.
Right, okay.
And I started working for ASL Recruitment in Hastings.
Right.
So I then spent 7 years in recruitment. And then when I left that, I placed myself in a job working for an e-commerce company based at Brands Hatch, because I quite like cars, and actually just spent most of my time learning about how to detail cars.
Right, okay.
And looking at the Ferraris that were at the showroom opposite. I was mostly doing a marketing role there. And then I left there, moved to Buckingham with my then partner, and set up Babel Monkey. And that's really where Babel Monkey started. So we actually celebrated 8 years last month.
Wow. Okay. So let's talk about Babel Monkey. What is it?
Babel Monkey is a digital marketing and PR agency.
Right.
So the name comes from, I want to clear this up because people get very confused about the name. So I wanted monkeys because monkeys create chatter, and social media is all about chatter. Mm. Now, we don't only do social media, but at the time, a lot of people really didn't understand what social media was about. So that's where the Babel bit comes from, because the purpose of Babel Monkey is to translate the world of social media for people.
So that's Babel, as in Tower of Babel, that biblical place where languages get mixed up.
It does work for that, but actually, originally, it came from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Right. Babel. you mean Babel the Babel fish. Okay, yeah, okay.
So, yes, yeah. that's initially where it came from. I get caught out sometimes, though, because I've never actually seen or read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Have you not?
No.
Neither have I.
Oh, Slarty no. Bartfast would be never seen absolutely it. Amazed that you've never seen it. So, the Babel fish. Okay.
So that's how the name came about. We work with small and medium-sized businesses,
right.
And we work with startups as well. We've got a special program called the Evergreen Plans, which are priced and billed to make it easier for smaller companies to have access to a framework for their social media.
Right.
But we do an awful lot of websites. We do an awful lot of blog writing and that sort of thing. And to be fair, certainly from my part, that's the bit that I generally enjoy the most.
Yep.
The social media stuff. I work with some troopers, as I call them, my freelance people, and they take care of a lot of the contracts on a day-to-day basis for
us. Okay. You're absolutely right. Stories are really cool and what it's all about, and I guess the issue here is content. Yeah. It's one of those strange things, isn't it? As technology has driven on, not just with social media, but with websites and all the rest of it, the need for content has become all-consuming. Even on the radio website, I've got more than 3,500 blogs, which we recycle all the time, because people want to consume more and more content.
They do. Yeah. But it has to be relevant and it has to be interesting. And I think the pandemic really saw an explosion in the use of social media, particularly on LinkedIn. Mm. But if you actually look through what goes on LinkedIn these days, there's an awful lot of stuff on there where you're just thinking,
why
did somebody think anybody would be interested in this? So
it does suffer a little bit of trying to emulate Facebook a little bit, and that's annoying, because one of the beauties of LinkedIn before was it didn't emulate Facebook.
Absolutely, 100%. 100%. So yes, I still think that although it's changed a lot, and people have relaxed somewhat on LinkedIn, which to a certain extent is quite nice, but you know, it's not the place for pictures of people on the beach and whatever. That's certainly not where I would go with it.
No, absolutely. But it's kind of moving that way now, and you know, people showing you the dinner and stuff, you know, just like you do on Facebook, and that is really annoying, because the whole point of it was a professional place where you could go to talk about business
and you didn't have to listen to the rest of that rubbish and pretend to be interested.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
So the other thing that people are kind of suffering from a little bit is the whole, you know, lockdown. Let's face it, we didn't go anywhere. We didn't do anything. All we did was sit on the Muppet shows, as I call them, you know, the Zooms.
Yeah. And statement earrings, Tim. Did you have your statement earrings on, Tim?
Always.
Yeah. For the thing for a Zoom is a statement earring. Don't have to wear anything else underneath. Just earrings.
Just the statement earrings. That'll catch people's attention. I have to say, one thing that I really noticed with those as well is I'm very lucky. My my designer, Tim Dawson at Zoo Design.
I know Tim Dawson.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So he designed my Zoom background for me, and it's Babel Monkey Blue. And when you're in a Zoom full of 60 people, it really stands out because the blue just kind of makes the whole square pop out. So as Muppet shows go, I'm doing quite well on those. But anyway, so everybody on LinkedIn,
Stadler and Waldorf, huh?
Very definitely. Yeah, just get one of the dogs up there with me, it'd be great. There's an awful lot of stuff on LinkedIn where people just go, I've been to this networking event, I've been to that networking event. You're just thinking, so you're just a professional networker now, what's your actual business? Which is really what LinkedIn is supposed to be there for. So, you know, one of the things that I'm trying to encourage people back to is, you know, we don't really care what networking event you've been to, because the world's opening up again. So let's start talking about what you actually do and how you can help people.
That's very true, isn't it? I mean, I in the past have gone to a lot of networking events, and I still go to a few, but one of the things you find, and I endorse what you're saying, that so many people just go for the sake of going, I think to avoid work rather than to do any work, because they don't actually do any business, and they don't even attempt to do any business. It's just, you know, have a bacon sandwich and a chat, and then they go to work. So I get that. I really do get that. And it's important that we do start to rebuild the economy and recover the businesses that have kind of gone down a bit over the last 2 years due to the pandemic and everything else that's happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And also get involved with some of the, you know, still a lot of charity stuff going on. And Dazzle and I are quite heavily involved with the Rotary Club up in Bromley. I know you had Christine on here a little while ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a great excuse to get out and about as well. It's kind of like, we're allowed out, let's go do something with the Rotary Club.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've been sort of sleigh belling and all that sort of thing. So it's about, I think it's about getting, and I probably shouldn't say this, it's about getting a little bit offline and actually doing stuff outside of the online world that you can then still talk about.
It's too right. It's just that people are zoomed out, and you do more business face to face than you ever will. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes Zoom has been good for exchanging details and increasing your contact book.
Yeah.
But when you want to pitch a deal, shake on it, and now it's done.
Yeah.
There's no substitute.
Absolutely. And you know, it's one of those. We're going through these cycles of things, where all of a sudden, so many people. We were talking off air, Sarah, about recruitment at the moment and how difficult that is to find candidates, because so many people now have decided they want to continue working from home, or they want flexible working, or understandable stuff. But one of the things that I see about home working is that it's going to come back to bite a lot of people eventually, because while it's novel, it's okay. And the thing that they're actually doing isn't home working, it's commuting avoidance. Yeah. Once they've done it for a little while and they suddenly start to realize they've made no human contact with anybody else. Yeah. There's no one else to talk to. The dog keeps wanting to go for a walk and interrupting you, and you're stuck in a back bedroom somewhere where at 5 o'clock you have to pack your office away every night. It suddenly loses its attractiveness. So, you know, for me, I see this going in a cycle that at the moment everybody's really desperate to work from home, but we need more human contact. But, you know, that's the bit we miss, is, you know, what they call, the Americans call, the water cooler stuff. And just chatting
mentoring,
with your colleagues,
mentoring as well for youngsters that have just come out of uni,
absolutely,
and just started, you know, high power jobs. Being on a Zoom or working from your kitchen table is nothing like chatting to somebody or going out for lunch or having a coffee with someone.
You miss out on a whole bunch of the learning about social skills, really, don't you, by doing that. It's quite funny, one of my clients, I call them my mad scientists, because they're probably the most intelligent people you've ever met in the world. They've sort of build stuff that they've put on satellites for ESA and NASA and all sorts. And but one section of them, they're software engineers, and normally all they want to do is kind of sit at their desk, and they're just quite happy, they're in their own little worlds, that's fine. When we all had to work from home, when we were first allowed back into the office, they were all talking to each other. They were so pleased to see each other. And it's, so I don't think it matters really who you are. I think there is that need for actual face-to-face connection with people.
Without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eye contact. Mm. You know, a screen is not the same.
No, it's really not.
Mm. And people as well, you see them on the Zooms. They're attentive for the first 5 minutes, and then the eyes wander, and then they're doing something else, and the camera goes off, and it's like you're not even there. You're not even paying attention.
Well, sometimes they're making notes, though, because I mean, I do that because I'm making notes. So
you haven't got any lead in your pencil, though. We know.
No, I have a what do you call it? A pestle and mortar thing.
Flintstone. Hammer and chisel.
Yeah.
Hammer and chisel.
Yeah, a little bit of slate. That's what
pestle
I use.
Pestle and mortar's cooking.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I do.
Tablets.
With my walnuts.
Thank you for that, Moses. Right. I want to just kind of move on a little bit now, Sarah, and talk to you about the type of storytelling that you're doing on behalf of clients. Give us some insights. So if I'm running a smallish business and I go, PR, I've heard of that. I need some public relations, or I need some marketing doing here. What's the kind of, when you first meet a new client, what's the kind of thing you kind of look at, advise them to do, the kind of stories that you're looking to build for them?
Well, that's a good one. So it all really starts with why they're doing what they're doing. And right. I really hate to sound like the old, start with why and all the rest of it. But actually people, I mean, I'm a classic example. There's a million sort of marketing people out there. Yeah. Why do people choose to work with me? Mm-hmm. And they choose to work with me because they've either heard me somewhere, or they've read something and they've thought, oh, that sounds like me. She sounds like I could work with her. Right. I like her sense of humour. I actually had one chap who phoned me up to give me a referral because he was in Malawi at the same time as I was. Right. Because that's in my LinkedIn bio. So you've got to give people a reason to connect with you, and your why is actually why people do connect with you.
Yeah.
So when people are looking to start out with presenting themselves more comprehensively, shall we say, online, then the story really starts with why they're doing what they're doing, what's important to them, what their aim is. Mm-hmm. And it's actually building a framework about that. Now, you can either do that. I mean, obviously, everything, as far as I'm concerned, pretty much everything starts with a website. And that has to give people a reasonable amount of information. But then when you're trying to build your social media presence, for example, posts tend to be a lot shorter, but each time you're giving a little bit more about, you're telling your story, how it all started, why you're doing what you're doing. And if you've, you know, fair enough, you might be selling a new product or a new service, but it's not just, that's the difference between sales and marketing. It's not just, here's a banana.
Yeah.
You know, it's here's this really lovely, sweet, lush fruit that will fill you up, and suddenly you're thinking, yeah, I'm hungry, and that's sort of looking quite nice. So the story is always building the desire around why people would want what you do and want to buy it from you.
Right.
So that's, and it's very different telling stories when you're trying to, when you've got long form blogs, for example, and you've got sort of 800 words to do it in, or if you've got 256 characters.
Yeah.
But with every snippet of story you tell, there has to be something of value to somebody in there. There's no point saying something like, I've got a new website. So what? It doesn't pass the so what test, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
It's exciting for you because it's a new website.
Yeah.
Why should anybody else care? Yeah. You know, is there more functionality? Does it make it easier for people to place orders with you? Does it make it easier for them to find information? That's what people care about.
Sure.
So partly that's what the story involves as well.
I think that's a massively important point. When you're talking about social media, marketing, whatever, you know, whether it's a magazine article or Twitter, is that you've got to think about why people would want to read it, yeah? Not just make an announcement. Like you say, oh, I've got a website. Well, bully for you.
Yeah.
Haven't we all? Because people get astounded by that. And then they go, well, you know, I spent ages putting this all over every platform and nobody took any notice. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Whereas all of a sudden someone will come along and say something controversial and the entire world descends on them and, you know, an argument starts or whatever. Because that's the way we are with things like that, isn't it? You know, it's about inspiring people to make a comment, you know?
It is. You can do that in different ways as well. I mean, certainly the rules, as far as I'm concerned, with that all the troopers kind of stick to as well, We don't allow our clients to say anything particularly controversial on social media.
Yeah.
But we might raise a somewhat controversial issue and ask people what they think without actually expressing an opinion.
Yeah.
Because that way you're inviting people to get involved in the conversation, which is great, and that's what you want. And obviously there is a degree whereby you're playing the algorithm game.
Yeah.
But also it allows people to kind of get their message across and feel as though they're connecting with you, but without you necessarily shooting yourself in the foot, because and there's so much of it out there. I mean, it used to just be stay away from politics and religion, but these days don't tell anybody about your vaccination status, don't tell anybody about you know, it's just it's
you effectively can't say anything without some joker coming along and tell you why you can't say it. I mean there's I've had some hilarious ones in the last couple of days about nothing at all, or people that completely misunderstand what you've said, you know, and try to turn it into some kind of political argument.
Yes, and then you're busy going no, that's not what I meant.
Now I just block people straight away. I can't be bothered to argue anymore. But you're absolutely right. It's about inviting people to participate in a conversation, isn't it? And conversation works the best for that kind of thing, especially on social media.
And not only that, when you're showing that you're open to other people's opinions, even if they're not necessarily your own. And I think that there's far too much at the moment of people jumping up and down, and you know, you're perfectly entitled to your opinion. I don't necessarily have to abide by it or agree with you, and I think people forget that it's okay to disagree.
I think that more than anything else is one of the downsides I've seen over the last couple of years of social media, is that there's a right way to think about everything, and then if you don't, you're a fascist Nazi. And that there's only two positions, and that's just incredible.
Yes, it doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense whatsoever. Funnily enough, I joined a little while back because I got a bit fed up with Twitter and the way it was, and I joined one of the alternative ones. But I very quickly got bored with it because it was an echo chamber and everybody just agreed. And you go, well, there's no point in that either. I came here for an argument, yeah? And I didn't come here for you to agree with me because I'm talking nonsense. And, you know, so for me, the whole point of having that kind of conversation is to expose yourself to other people's ideas and thoughts and feelings.
Absolutely.
In a nice way, yeah? But everybody just gets a bit violent about it now and, you know, just calls you names.
The cowards hide behind the screen.
Keyboard warriors,
and,
yeah.
Anonymity.
Yeah.
And you can't have a conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't have a conversation.
You can always tell. I just look at their previous tweets, and you can always tell. And then I just mute them if they're being stupid.
Yeah, exactly. Sarah, I want to finish up by asking you old school stuff. Yeah, we've talked quite a lot about social media and marketing and stuff like that. Is there still a role for legacy print newspapers, magazines, and radio stations?
I think so, definitely. I mean, certainly, I'm going to start with the easy one, which is radio stations. You know, people still very much listen to the radio. It's one of the things that Alexa has probably really brought back much more than
absolutely
anything else. So
37% of all radio listening is now done by Alexa.
That doesn't surprise me. So, and also when you look at the rise in popularity of podcasts, I mean, obviously the Bromley Buzz podcast is particularly close to my heart, but you know, or Positive Stories and all the rest of it, which we like. But so yeah, definitely people are still open to listening to stuff. I think print is slightly more difficult. I mean, we've seen that we've got a lot of you know, print advertising salespeople have been struggling for a really long time.
Absolutely,
really
yeah.
long time.
Yeah.
And I you know, I mean, I think that it's going to remain a tough sector, because people are spending less time turning pages.
Yeah.
And if they can't consume it, even in a digital format, I mean, I get the New Scientist magazine. It's the only one I really get. And I spend most of my time reading it online, even though I actually get the hard copy sent through. And I want to read the hard copy.
I love a hard copy.
But it's...
We're not even going there.
Yeah.
I hardly get the time to actually pick it up, whereas, you know, I'm sort of sitting on my phone waiting for something, and I can just read the digital version very quickly.
Absolutely. I haven't bought a newspaper in over 12 years.
Yeah.
I just won't buy them. I just won't read them.
They're full of nonsense anyway, as far as I'm concerned.
With clickbait. Mostly now, journalism is just clickbait, as far as I can see.
And it's not accurate.
And they're ignoring all the stuff.
It's churnalism.
They
churn out the same memes over and over again. Last week was a classic example of this. I don't want to talk about this too much, but it was a classic example. Every tabloid and also three of the main broadsheet, what used to be called broadsheets, had the same photograph on the front page of their newspaper on the same day about an incident in Ukraine.
Was that the lady with the bandage? Which was old news.
Which was an old photograph from a gas explosion five years ago.
Crazy.
And they all went with it. And you think, doesn't anybody ever check anything?
I know. Yeah.
But they've been for probably the last 10 years. I mean, remember...
Since I stopped buying newspapers. Yeah. Well, what a thing.
Well, when I stopped doing my business column, I stopped because it all went online. And for me, that wasn't what I needed and wanted. But I think clickbait is ridiculous. But they're so short of staff now. Like in the old days, going back 20 years...
Yeah.
You'd have a job, you'd take it to your client, and the photographer would come out and do the photos. Yeah. I now do the photos.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just do the whole thing because you won't ever get a photographer out. It's they don't have it.
But, you know, without being funny, from my point of view, journalism, I mean, we're seeing the other side of journalism at the moment with war reporting, which is, you know, a completely different animal. But conventional journalism is just someone's opinions, and most of it hasn't been researched properly anyway. and it's just nonsense.
It just drives me insane when you get reporters interviewing other reporters just so they can keep the news cycle going for longer. And it's like, he's a reporter, why are you asking his opinion? He doesn't know any more than you do.
Yeah, exactly.
And that old nugget of the unnamed source.
I've
just got to recycle my opinions from an unnamed source.
But the thing is, with papers now, you can just see the agenda. I get my mum's Daily Mail. She's read it for years. She's 91, as I said to you. And I get hers because I just love... I like the letters page. There's certain things I like on there. And the health stuff is hilarious because, you know, they've got one person on in a month telling you you must go vegan.
Yeah.
And then another one saying you must have meat. And it's ridiculous. Like one size fits all.
Dr. Ben Goldacre took the Daily Mail to town over their health reporting in his book.
Crazy.
Not Bad Farmer, the other one.
we'll Google it after.
It's
just crazy. But the whole thing is you'll read their agenda. Like at the moment they're bigging up Kate, aren't they? Princess Kate, or what's that, her name is. Mm. You know, it's how wonderful she is. And of course, it's all anti-Meghan in a way.
It's always been that way. Yeah. Right from the word go, they kind of pitted them against each other, didn't
they? But they do. They're bitchy.
But the problem is, about a year ago, I saw something. Somebody posted it just because it was hilarious. It was one of the newspapers had run a health scare about something, saying, you mustn't eat this because you'll die.
Yeah.
And in the very next column,
they were going,
if you eat more of this, you'll be healthier. And they were side by side. And is there not an editor at your newspaper? Yeah. You know, this is just
and I don't
bonkers.
Know whether you've noticed now the typos.
It's horrendous.
Yeah,
the
typos.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're quite funny, aren't they?
Sarah, fantastic. Thank you so much for talking to us about that.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you. I'm sorry to cut you off because we could talk for a lot longer, but we need to join the newsroom in a minute and hear what our journalists have got to say.
If they're still talking to us.
Exactly. But Sarah, thank you so much for that. If people want to find out more about Babel Monkey, how do they do that?
Right, okay. Well, we do actually have a website coming soon, which is babelmonkey.co.uk. But in the meantime, you can find me on LinkedIn. I'm the only Sarah Marsh Collings there.
That's Collings with a G.
It is. Yeah. Collings hyphenated, double barrel, just like the shotgun.
Yeah.
Babel Monkey is spelt BabelMonkey. So we're on Twitter as well.
Fantastic. Sarah, thank you so much. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for a moment, Sarah Marsh Collings of Babel Monkey, thank you.
Thank you.
Cool. We're almost ready to join the newsroom. I've got a couple of things I want to tell you about. Good mate of mine, Gav Paws, who runs a reggae radio station.
Yeah.
He has just announced that he's a qualified audio engineer with over 15 years experience of mastering DJ mixes and podcasts. Mainly for his own radio show, but he's also worked for a number of artists, and he's also worked for Steve Topple of the Canary, online newspaper.
Yeah.
He's working with DJ Amai, who's a British Nigerian multi-genre female DJ. Anyway, what he's offering is podcasters and people putting music mixes together, audio experience, audio help. Yeah,
excellent.
So he will remaster your mixes. A 30-minute mix starts at £15
Fabulous.
For remastering it professionally. Yeah. I'm going to put out a load more stuff about this, but if you want to. If you want to find out more about it, if you go to Pause Radio, P-A-U-Z-E, pauseradio.com/DJ mix, you can find out all about it, or you can email him at djpause@googlemail.com.
Brilliant. Well done. Have we got time before the news?
Yeah, yeah, go on.
So, Katie K9, 2014, says, "Hi, Jules Serkin. Please send my best wishes to my poorly girlfriend." This is a greyhound that's in love with my greyhound. I have a rescue, 4 months.
This isn't a euphemism. No.
It's all right. I've got a greyhound too.
Have you? We must.
Oh, no.
Darren,
yeah. You should have warned me about this.
Because when Terry Thorpe comes in from Tenterden Town Council,
I'll pack up for the rest
Casey
of the show.
Casey K9
now.
Is his greyhound. And nobody ever warned me that rescuing greyhound was quite a learning curve. She's only two, so she's not your usual age. Anyway, so she got bitten very badly. Because we do let her off the lead. Terrible recall. You know, nobody ever warned me. Greyhounds do not have recall.
Yeah, Gus doesn't either.
Gus. So Gus and Darcy. Anyway, so he says, Casey K9 says, "Please send my best wishes to my poorly girlfriend, Darcy." Sorry, Gus. "Hope she is recovering well. And lots of kisses, love and kisses." I mean, it's turning into a thing.
Yeah.
And then Paragon Drones say some excellent points. I have DM'd them about their use of... they've got the wrong social media account for Sarah here, but I've DM'd them discreetly.
Right.
And he says, "So what is the best question to ask in so many aspects of business?" Because you said that, I think it was about a website you were alluding to. And DG East, "Hey, Jules Serkin," no mention of you, sorry. "How about a shout out for a business still suffering with a burden of regulators' ridiculous price hikes?"
Oh, the FCA have put up their prices by about 340%.
"Looking forward to Tim," no pressure, Tim, "fighting our corner."
Uh-huh.
There.
Yeah.
Tim's
looking worried.
Yeah. He's looking glum, mate. Yeah.
Dick Turpin wore a mask. That's the FCA's excuse. Yeah. It's inexplicable. Yeah. Inexplicable. I mean, it's
now, that's a word.
There's no justification for it at all, is there?
We need to use inexplicable more often on the show.
Only if you could say it.
Yeah, I can't.
Maybe not.
And
inexplicably, she can't say it.
View IT Training, hello to you. They are helping people with their Microsoft Office training requirements. They're based in Medway. Their website is all the W's, VUE, ittraining.co.uk. And they say, "Great show, listening in. Please give us a shout out to VUE IT Training and all those smashing it with their spreadsheet courses today." I am not a fan of spreadsheets or admin.
No.
I heard you say about admin and I'm...
No, and spreadsheets, I'm exactly the same.
Yeah.
Bosses are looking, this is a big breakthrough, this. Bosses are looking to build a multi-million pound bike factory. Say that Ashford has fought off stiff competition from Birmingham, Manchester and Nottingham and has been awarded the contract. Brompton Bicycles has earmarked land along the Avenue Jacques Fourchot, the dual carriageway close to Asda and the designer outlet, for its new global headquarters, which will create over 1,000 jobs.
That's brilliant. That's excellent.
So that's fantastic. So that's Brompton Bicycles opening in Ashford.
Fabulous. Well, bicycling is the way to go, isn't it? I noticed Canterbury City Council have done a cycle path.
I've got some cheesy tunage about that.
On Thanet, on the old Thanet Way, they've done a cycle path. And I said, good, perhaps it would get the bikes off the promenade now, because they do knock people over, you know, and dogs and all sorts.
They knock dogs over.
And it is a promenade.
Is it?
It's for promming. Yeah.
Promenading.
Yes. Promenading. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. Is it the news time? I hate to butt in.
It is in a minute.
Okay.
You can do another tweet if you want.
I can, yes. Sorry, my timeline's very busy. Tenders and Chamber, how about a shout out for a busy show sponsor finalising the March Tenderton card, offers email Tenterton Card offers email. It's always hard in a tweet, isn't it? Email going out to over 5,000 card holders. Well done. 5,000, Paul Andrews. They've hit the mark. Well done. And Jay, did I tell you about the window cleaning people? I think they're fans of yours, Sarah. They've got 30 years experience. They offer efficient, reliable service at a competitive price. Commercial window cleaning, working at Heights. You'll find them on Window Cleaning and Support Service. They've got a very long email thing,
yeah.
Actually.
Jade Window Cleaning and Support Services. Yes. The whole thing, yeah.
So you'll find them, and if not, ask Sarah, but they are on the Twitter at Jade Window Clean, but their website is, I can't get it, so.
Well, you put a picture up of your gutter, so.
Yeah, my gutters with a little squirt on them.
Oh, they clean those too.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Did you read that Paragon Drones lauded me for an excellent choice of cheesy tunage?
Yes, okay. They did. Sorry, they're just we're just DMing each other. I've just told them the correct social media thing to talk to Sarah with.
Okay. That's it.
What's happening?
That's it. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom.
You know, COVID's disappeared. Nothing on the news now.
It's gone now.
Yeah, it's just gone.
It's over. It went up in a puff of smoke.
It's a puff of smoke.
And we're going to be talking to Tim when we come back.
And sending our love to the Ukraine people.
Exactly, we will.
We are.
Let's join the newsroom.